When you're lost in the darkness, look for The Pod. Specifically, the Prestige TV podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network, where we're breaking down every new episode of HBO's The Last of Us. On Sunday nights, grab your battery and join Van Lathan and Charles Holmes for an instant reaction to the latest episode.
Then head back to the QZ on Tuesdays for a deep dive with Joanna Robinson and Mallory Rubin. From character arcs to video game adaptation choices, story themes to needle drops, we'll parse every inch of this cordyceps-coded universe. Watch out for mouth tendrils and follow along on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Cold open question of the week, Kaz.
Shoes, what up?
Kyrie Irving was just traded to my Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
Who's the Kyrie Irving of professional wrestling?
Wow. Wow. That is a loaded question if I've ever seen one. The Kyrie Irving of professional wrestling. God.
You can take that however you want it. I mean, you know.
There's so many ways to take it. It's like, all right, like somebody who's insanely talented but probably doesn't want to do is it CM Punk? It's probably CM Punk, right? Like, it's got to be.
That's pretty good.
It's got to be.
I was going to say Roman Reigns takes a lot of time off and he's a champ, you know.
I mean, a guy like you know, CM Punk.
Yeah, CM Punk's probably the
both,
answer.
Both very convicted by their morals. You know, some people, cults of personality is a big thing with both of them.
There you go.
Both insanely talented and can talk very well and sound very smart if you give them a lot to talk about. But after maybe like a few short Google searches, you see that they're probably not, don't have
well,
the answer.
Well, and despite everything, both of them are just incredibly popular in some quarters in the locker room, right? I mean, the Kyrie gets more hugs and daps than anybody else in the league after games, and Punk, despite the nuclear bomb he set off, still has a lot of people that seem to really like him.
He's exactly like Kyrie Irving. It's like the more crazy things he says, the more people like, you know, he's got a point though. Like, mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, yeah,
all right. I thought it would be a more complicated answer than that, but I guess you're right. Let's start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
You're listening and you're listening.
You're
listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
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 Welcome to the Masked Man, Mask Mondays with Kaz. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing good. The NBA trade deadline is this week, as just alluded to in the cold open. And to celebrate, we've got the gang, a giant gang here.
We got a whole five. We could run a five right now.
Like. Yeah, we could. our producer, Brian Waters, is here as usual. Super producer, Ben Cruz, who handles, as if you don't know it, runs most of the NBA podcast content for theringer.com is here as well, as is our guy, Phil Schneider, the matches of the week impresario. We're going to talk imaginary pro wrestling trades, made up pro wrestling trades. among in the entire world of pro wrestling, company to company, as if wrestling companies were NBA teams. And we're going to probably spend most of the show doing that. But before we get there, we got to hit on a couple things. One, Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns is official for Elimination Chamber, and it was set up with more gusto. I think that's an appropriate word than I was expecting. Sami just came out to the crowd in a hoodie, as one does, and started laying it in on Roman Reigns and said, you know, I want your title. And Roman came in and then, of course, beat him down again and said, you can have my title, but I was expecting a title, or I had fancy booked a title versus career match of some sort or whatever. But no, it's just like, no, what I want is to embarrass you in front of your family because you messed up my family. So it's going to be at Elimination Chamber, and it's going to be big, man. That pop is going to be out of control. What do you think, Kaz?
Man, I was so excited for this matchup. I'm a sucker for hoodies in the crowd. So when he came out and at least is Sami Zayn at least in the top three spear power rankings at this point, right? Like definitely cracked top three with that spear.
I think
right?
Edge has to officially stop using the spear now. He just got knocked out of the contending.
The running hug is not like Sami Zayn just put his shit to shame. Like there's no way. And I guess I'd go. It's Goldberg still got the top spot.
Yeah, because he really tried to hurt people, or he really did hurt people.
Like he's really throwing his shoulder in the boat.
He was really also the first person to do it. I remember right after he debuted, I was talking to somebody who was an indie wrestler in Virginia. He was like, no, you're not supposed to do that kind of thing in a wrestling ring. You're really going to hurt people. So he was also kind of the inventor of it, right?
Nobody was he before? He did it before Rhino?
I don't even think Rhino was wrestling when Goldberg was around.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You could tell the difference between like Goldberg spear and like the spears of workers like past him, where it's like, okay, this spear is used to hurt and this spear is used to look really cool. Like, I'm just going to jump and you're going to catch me. Whereas Goldberg's like, no, I'm going to drive you through the fucking mat. You're going to keep doing that. But, I'm really excited for this match. Sammy, like you said, like I did think it was going to be a little bit more build-up, but I think the build-up is being saved for Jay, right? Like it kind of seems like the real story is like where Jay stands between all this, you know? Like Roman is definitely his cousin, but he's also kind of abused him and gaslit him for the past like 2 years. And Sammy is kind of this person he's hated for the past 2 years, but only in the past maybe 3 or 4 months has realized like he's seen the best person version of me and, you know, seen the best of me when nobody else really did. So I think that's where the real story is. I don't think anybody, I think even your biggest Sammy defenders aren't necessarily, well, I'm not necessarily jazzed up about like who the champion is. Like we kind of know where that's happening. I think we're all really interested in the story, which has kind of been the backbone of this entire Bloodline storyline for a long time. And right now the main character has like shifted to Jay and his whereabouts and where he stands. So I'm really excited for this, even though it happened kind of quickly and, you know, the pop was insane, but I'm excited to see, Sami Zayn in a main event match with consequences. And I don't know how many people have been listening to the show for a long time, but if you have been and you know how much I bangs with main event Sami Zayn from like his NXT days in Black and Gold, and he was having like classics with Cesaro, classics with Shinsuke Nakamura, classics with Kevin Owens and Neville, aka Pac. Like this is really like the first big match Sami's had on the main roster since probably Battleground, you know what I mean, with Kevin Owens as a babyface. So I'm really excited to see babyface main event Sami for the first time in like his all like white meat babyface glory. I'm really excited for that.
Is he gonna go back to the old ska theme song, you think? This is gonna be the full
right? Like I thought, you know, I guess like legally, like there was like some falling out with CFO. And I think that's why like a lot of like the CFO classics either got like remixed or like completely dropped or whatever. Uh-huh. So I don't think we're going to get Worlds Apart, but I don't know. The new music has kind of grown on me recently, you know, like I used to love the ska joint and, you know, and the dancing or whatever. But the new Sammy music has kind of grown on me for a while.
Total aside, but from what I understand, the issue is with CFO and the record label or whoever had the rights to it. And the label was messed around with the prices and also not CFO wasn't really collecting much
in the deal. So I don't know if WWE didn't, if they were overcharging WWE or WWE just didn't, they took moral offense to the fact that CFO wasn't collecting. I don't know what it was, but CFOs I think they're morally in the clear on that one, but yeah, I miss a lot of those songs.
Well, I mean, they gave Drew his broken dreams at Clash at the Castle. So who knows? Maybe they'll dip back into the bag and pay whatever royalties that need to be paid to let Worlds Apart bang out in Montreal, but we'll see.
Also, we had NXT Vengeance Day, not Vengeance, not Judgment Day, not Judgment on its own. It was a pretty good show. We didn't even talk about it last week because my hype level was relatively low, but the card, it wasn't exactly, you know, old school, like black and gold era NXT in terms of work rate and delivering, but there's some pretty fun stuff on the card. We got the, Daba Kato returning, the former, what was his rank, Aziz? Was he a Colonel Aziz?
Commander Aziz.
Commander Aziz, sorry. No, we don't need any stolen valor accusations here. Sure. Roxanne Perez came out on top, as did Bron Breakker, who, speaking of spears, I think might have actually like fractured Grayson Waller's spine in that last stanza.
Wait, really?
No, not really. I mean, it was like one of the most compelling looking. Grayson Waller just folded in half. I mean, just did a total toe touch and it looked amazing. But we have Phil Schneider here, who in his Match of the Week column this week put Wesley versus Dijak as the best WWE match of the week. It's not the Dijak versus Lee that you might be dreaming of, but it was a hell of a match. Phil, what was your take?
I liked it a lot better than I liked those Dijak lead matches. I was never a fan of those. I always thought it was like, oh, look, they're big and they're doing cruiserweight stuff, except it's not as fast and maybe it's a little awkward. And is that, I guess it's cool that he's tall and does that, but maybe he should just not do that and let the guys that are smaller and better doing it do that.
And I think it pigeonholed him too, because he could only do that stuff with Keith Lee. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it was like I know those got like a lot of hype, and you know, Meltzer gave them a billion stars and they did BWG for the first time. And I was always a little underwhelmed. So I like Dijak better as a guy who uses his athleticism as a way to bump really good for Rana's for little guys, rather than a guy who's doing like, you know, trying to do junior heavyweight spots at that size. And he's better at just a guy kicking. I wrote my column. It's pretty amusing that the reboot of Dijak is that he's going to do a Cobra gimmick from, I think that's a movie from 1986, which has got to be, you know, you could do a legendary top 10 list of outdated cultural references used by the WWE, but a movie from 40 years ago as your new reboot of somebody's gimmick is pretty, it's got to be pretty high on the list. But yeah, I thought Wes Lee, a lot of respect for a guy who got put through no fault of his own in a very tough position, when his partner got fired. And has been able to like sort of turn it up and become a real. And I just assumed that he was done when that was up. Like that was it for him, and he was going to be, you know, in Impact in a month or two. And instead, he's, you know, got himself a title run and doing really well. And I don't know if he's got a place on the top roster really at his size, but has found himself a real good niche in NXT. And I'm excited. There's a lot of matches I would be excited to see him in with that belt. So I liked it. It was good. I didn't think we needed, I mean, the sort of story of the night is probably a little too much booking in almost every match. Like, yeah. I don't think we needed Tony D'Angelo and Stax in that match. I don't think we needed Daba Kato. I think that kind of took a lot of the steam out of that Carmelo Hayes match. Yeah. And so in a little bit, it was like, all right, settle down a little bit. You can just let these guys do their thing. And then maybe if you want to have Tony D'Angelo come in after the match or Daba Kato come in after the match, that's probably the better way to do it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very enjoyable show overall. Got a couple new sets of tag team champions. You know, things happened. That was good.
Things did happen.
I'm surprised Gallus is the guys out of all those NXT UK ones that end up with titles and a push. That would not have been. I feel like, how would I have predicted it?
I do feel like they were the more established tag team. You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, the NXT tag team division definitely needed a refresh. And I think that's even the reason why they even brought the New Day in. You know, they're like, hey, man, come here for a few weeks, hang out in Florida and help make a few guys that need some guys. And if you aren't watching NXT UK every week, you probably have a faint idea of who Gallus is. But like, I think, you know, if this is your first time really getting to sink your teeth into who they are, especially with the injuries and the visa issues and the travel and all that type of stuff, like maybe this is the plan for them weeks ago or months ago, and sure, they just, you know, probably are just getting around to it, so who knows. I do like Gallus though, man. Like, I think
I like Gallus.
Yeah, man,
they're like a good old school tag team, and I mean, there might be some aspect of this when WWE is being, you know, accused of formally demolishing the UK indie scene over the past month. Mm-hmm. That maybe this is a little karma. Yeah,
they only made good. Walter like a international megastar in the process, yeah, but they'll survive. It's okay.
UK indie scene. So many creeps in the UK indie scene. In some ways, maybe
we got our fair share over here too, man.
If you looked at Speak It Out, that was a progress card from like 2012. So maybe, you know, all right. Maybe
I forgot somebody who said it. Was this Stokely Hathaway that had to stand up and he was like, yo, if you want to get away with some crimes, just go to NXT UK. Like, they aren't doing shit over there. It's
like, yeah. Producer Ben is waving his arms right now. I think we have to move on. Any other notes on that card? Anybody else have any NXT? I mean, yeah, NXT Vengeance Day highlights?
Brian, Ben. Big fan of Roxanne Perez after this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think between the Royal Rumble and this match, like, she's really established herself as like, okay, like, she is, I mean, obviously it doesn't hurt that like Booker T is like your biggest cheerleader and he's on commentary as well. But I think she really got to shine in this match. Toxic Attraction, you talk about people who are dealt bad hands when it comes to like Wesley. Toxic Attraction was probably in the same sort of boat, but I think, mm-hmm, you know, in weird ways, like, this kind of usually works out. Like, you know, a lot of times I could be wrong, but I feel like if the company or your company doesn't believe in you and like something happens that's out of your hands and you're in a tag team or you're in a stable or something like that, they probably never did believe in you, right? And mm-hmm, I think with Wesley, like, you know, he always was very interesting and had a great look and he's hella athletic. And, you know, the North American title thing kind of came out of nowhere, but this match with Dijak really, okay, now he has something that he could put up on his resume and be like, yo, I did that. And I think the same thing with Toxic Attraction, where, again, put in a bad situation, losing Mandy Rose, but now you're shot put into like the NXT women's, you know, title picture. And, you know, like, they had a great match. Obviously, Roxanne Perez stood tall after all of it. And she's really starting to turn into a very capable. I mean, it's weird. Like, I can't remember the last time the NXT women's division had like a true babyface champ. Like, it's been a long ass time, like probably mm-hmm, black and gold ever, really. Like, Mandy Rose was the only NXT
women's
champion
for a long time. Yeah.
She's the only NXT women's champion in the post black and gold era. You know what I'm saying? And before that, I think it might have been Rhea, or I forgot who was women's champion before that. But, you know, you're painting with a new canvas right now in NXT. Yeah. And I think Roxanne Perez is doing like a really good job of, you know, establishing what that could be going forward. And I think it bodes well for her in the future, especially in the main roster when she gets that chance, because it's hard to be a babyface champion, but she did that well against.
And you're right about Toxic Attraction too. I mean, both JC Jayne, who's been just a kind of a low key real standout for a number of months now, and Gigi Dolin looked really good in that match. Dolan's giving me, I mean, this might be sacrilege in some quarters, really giving me sensational Sherry Martel vibes.
Oh, wow.
And some of her.
Well, with the expressions, right? Like,
yeah, very, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, just like everything outside the ring was just, I mean, that was having flashbacks. but yeah, Ben, Brian, any takes on this show?
I just want to know, is Dijak okay? My guy took one of the roughest bumps I've seen in a while on his neck.
Oh, and his finger's hella broke.
And then they zoomed in on his finger right before they cut away from
his finger got jacked up.
That was disgusting. I can't unsee that. I'm still seeing it this morning. And I just want to know if he's okay. I think he posted about it on Instagram, so I think he is okay. But that was a rough, like, 5-10 minute stretch for our guy Dijak. That was a lot of crazy stuff.
Not a ton you can do with a broken finger. You just kind of tape it up and keep it rolling. But he might be out of commission for a couple of weeks for sure. That was nasty.
Yeah. Well. Maybe he can make that part of his new gimmick. He just gets the peace sign all the time or something. And his fingers brought it about.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is I'm ready for the Carmelo Hayes era. You know, yeah. That standoff at the end, like, give it to me. I'm ready. I'm ready for him to get his, his just due and be the face of NXT.
I don't know. Are you more ready for him to be the face of NXT or more ready for him to be on the main roster? Because
there's the question.
He kind of was the face of NXT. Like, honestly, to be honest, like, Braun Breaker's kind of boring. Braun Breaker's kind of boring. Like, I watch NXT because of Trick and Mello, man. Like, he kind of already is the face of NXT.
You know, I'm looking at it like he's Mr. Tuesday Night. I would love to see him on the main roster, but right now I'm just trying to figure out, like, where would he be right now? So, you know, I don't see him beating Gunther, and I don't, you know, sure, I don't see how long, you know, the thing with Theory.
I think he's fitting like a glove on Monday Night Raw. I think Monday Night Raw needs some new faces, some younger faces outside of Theory. I feel like they're trying stuff with, like, the Ali's of the world and, like, you know, the guys that are just kind of, like, floating. But it's like, there hasn't really been, like, a new Impact guy on Raw. Not Impact like the wrestling, but Impact as in, like, you're pulling me up from another company or another show or a big trade. Like, the last, like, truly impactful, like, Raw acquisition might have been Becky. And that's a while ago, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I think Carmelo and Trick would fit in perfectly on Monday Night Raw as either baby faces or heels. You know what I mean? Like, I think they'd be hella interesting. There's not a whole lot of, you know, and please God don't put them in the Hurt Business. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if I may interrupt, Carmelo Hayes would look great on Monday Night Raw. He would be fun as the face of NXT.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
But some might argue he, you know, has a lot of value and should be shipped to another wrestling company while his stock price is high.
You're a professional, David. Look at that segue. Oh, my gosh.
Let's do this thing. It's the NBA trade deadline, so we're making it the imaginary pro wrestling trade deadline. There are no rules here. I was like, just scatter shooting on our text thread saying if you want to use pro or basketball terms, you know, if you want to trade the rights to a wrestler who is no longer under contract or no longer appearing on TV, and you know, you could do that, however you want to do it. Every wrestling company in the world is available here. We asked Phil in particular to be on. He's a diehard NBA fan, but also he knows all of the various parts of the wrestling world that we don't talk about on a weekly basis better than any of us in Mexico and even Japan and the entire indie scene. So, feel free to jump in and edit any of our trades that venture into those territories too, Phil, if we're totally off base.
We'll do.
But man, I mean, I just have a wild list here. Should I go first? Who should we go first?
Yeah, go first.
Go first.
Kick it up for us, Dave.
It's the Masked Man Show. It's not the Phil Steiner Show.
I will go first with I have a lot of multiplayer trades, a couple of multi-team trades. I'm going to do one that's just a straight up one for one that might be a little bit uncomfortable. WWE straight up trades AJ Styles to AEW for Jade Cargill. Who says no?
I think AEW says no.
Yeah, I think AEW says no.
I think AEW says no.
You don't think there's like a... You don't think that Tony Khan can wants to book AJ Styles against all of his top guys just for one... couple of years at the end?
I totally believe Tony Khan has an affinity for any of the Ring of Honor legends. And of course, I think AJ Styles, even though he hasn't spent nearly enough time in there as the others, I think he wants to make the most of his investment in the Ring of Honor tape library. And anybody from that era, whether it's Bullet Club or any of that stuff, like, makes total sense. But they didn't do the good job of it celebrating the 50th win. But I just believe Jade Cargill is more valuable to AEW than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, she just checks so many boxes. And at this point, I mean, yes, AJ's this is going to sound blasphemous. This is going to sound hella blasphemous. AJ Styles, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. But in 2023, do you want to see 5 more years of AJ Styles or 5 more years of Jade Cargill?
See, we're talking about NBA. The NBA comparisons are legit. They obviously have shorter contracts now than they used to in the NBA.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like in pro wrestling, you can't be booking out more than 2 years. You can just, right, it's impossible to predict.
Even 2 years.
So if you think you can get two years out of AJ Styles, then that's sort of like, you know, is Jade Cargill going to be wrestling in 2 years? Who knows? She might be making movies or something.
No. Sure. But I think Jade Cargill has had a better year than AJ Styles had this past year. Is that no? Mm-hmm. What did AJ Styles do this past year? What did he do this year that was like, oh man, you know, he can't, you know, he's untouchable in the trade and draft.
All right. Then.
What has he done?
Jade Cargill's kind of like, you know, you're like Paulo, maybe not even Paulo Machado, but like your Chet Holmgren kind of, like, all of the upside.
Yeah.
The upside is huge.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's upside. There's a lot of upside where that hasn't turned into,
it's like, are you
something
trade,
that matters.
Are you going to trade, like, who's a steady NBA player? Like, not a star, but just like a steady, like, he'll be in the Hall. Like, would you trade, like, the last
like
year
Clay Thompson?
Anthony? Yeah, okay, yeah. Perfect. Would you trade Clay Thompson straight up for Victor Wembanyama?
No.
Would you?
But maybe for Chet, if you're the Thunder trying to put together a championship run or a playoff run.
I don't know, man. Like, I like the promise of Jade. I like the fact that she checks off way more boxes than AJ does. And I think AJ's best years are kind of behind them already, where Jade's are.
I think that if I'm Tony Khan, I'm asking for, like, Saul Ruka in addition to AJ Styles.
All right, there you go.
I like that.
I'm asking for, like, I need a small forward. If you're taking Jade Cargill, I need somebody who's going to play a similar role in the offense. So there, give me one of your. You have 11 to 16 track and field gymnastics, green gymnastics women in NXT already. So can you give me, like, somebody who could sop up some of the Jade Cargill minutes?
Yeah, like, I think that's fair. That's fair.
That's fair. All right, I'll do that. Trade.
Let's move on. Kaz, what's your first trade?
It's not really it. Okay. All right. Here's a trade.
Is it not really a trade? Is that what we're doing, Kaz? I spent all weekend preparing for this. I'm going to say it's not really a trade.
My bad, guys. I would, from AEW, I would trade the rights to Miro for Cedric Alexander,
mm-hmm.
Shelton Benjamin,
mm-hmm.
and a black wrestler to be named later. Just because as much as I love the Hurt Business, I'm tired of people fantasy booking a million other black guys in the Hurt Business, which is like, all right, we can just end this completely. And then two, I would just love to see Shelton Benjamin just fucking wild out for like one year, right? Like, he's the one guy I think of, you know, you want to talk about people who have just as much international experience, world experience, legend experience with Hall of Famers. Like, Shelton Benjamin, I never really got to cook on the main United States front like he has in like the Ruthless Aggression era and in Japan. I'd love to see Shelton Benjamin just go and just work with a bunch of AEW guys. And here's the thing. I say a lot of shit about AEW because I don't think they tell the longest stories. I think where they benefit most is just by having banger matches with not necessarily a bunch of fucking stories or whatever. But this past month, we've had like four classic Daniel Bryan matches. Not really much build up, but just like, hey, Daniel Bryan's wrestling that guy. How fun would it be to see like Daniel Bryan's wrestling Shelton Benjamin for 30 minutes on Dynamite? Daniel Bryan's wrestling Cedric Alexander or Adam Page is wrestling Cedric Alexander for 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, and on top of that, on the other side, Miro, he's one of the guys I think from AEW would probably do the best if he came back to WWE, ran it back as Rusev, bigger, stronger, you know what I'm saying? More cut than he was when he left. I just think, you know, he's done well in AEW. He was one of the first guys to make that jump. But it's time for him to go back home. Like, I don't know if he's just waiting for his contract to be ran out or something or whatever.
It feels like Miro's the OG Ananobi of this process. I bet all of us have a Miro trade in our notes app. I definitely have a Miro trade in my notes app.
No, it's really hard. Someone could give three picks for him, and somebody could, you know, and somebody might not value him more than, you know, just like a mid-card wrestler. It's the value question for him. It's really interesting. I think we can all see the upside. Yeah. By the way, on your trade that you just mentioned, Cedric Alexander, another Ring of Honor guy who would, you know, fit in really, obviously can do a lot more than he gets to show on WWE. Okay, Phil, what's your trade?
Okay, so you mentioned when you texted me about this that you wanted me to think about some international things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about New Japan and Switchblade Jay White, they announced recently, signed with the WWE, right? So
has he officially signed with WWE?
I thought that too.
Yeah,
I thought he's officially signed.
No, but there goes my rights to Jay White trade. But go ahead.
So New Japan, I think, needs somebody to head up the Bullet Club. The Bullet Club is a huge merch seller for them, and they need a new top Bullet Club guy. So that's going to be my goal here, is to get them. So I got a bunch of possibilities. I'll do my Miro one, because I think Miro is traditionally the type of guy you would think is the head of a Bullet Club, because it's been more smaller, you know, AJ Styles, Adam Cole, Kenny Omega type of dudes, but it could be a little bit of a different vibe. And he certainly has the sort of charisma and microphone skills to do it. And I think it would be a cool different sort of guy that they don't really have in the New Japan heavyweight sighting right now, especially because they were kind of doing it with Jonah and then he left. So my trade, it's a pretty simple one. I got some more complicated ones later. It's Miro from AEW for Zack Sabre Jr. from New Japan. Miro goes and heads the Bullet Club. Zack Sabre Jr. slots right in as your guy having these great technical matches. You get to do the Bryan Danielson match that you didn't get to do at Forbidden Door. You get to do Claudio, you have him as an antagonist maybe for whatever's left of the Blackpool Combat Club, where, you know, he claims all these bunch of Americans pretending they're from England and they know English wrestling. Let me show you how it really works. I'm going to show you how, you know, because he's a really good arrogant jerk when it comes to that kind of stuff on the mic. So I can see him having really fun. Like, you guys are pretending to play around with Blackpool. Let me show you Blackpool, Wheeler Yuta, and I'm going to rip all your joints out of your shoulder. So that's my first one. Straight up, Miro goes and runs a Bullet Club. Zack Sabre Jr. comes over and terrorizes people at AEW.
I was trying to get Baron Corbin to New Japan to lead the Bullet Club. Could we not have Baron Corbin for like two young lions to be named later?
I don't know, man.
I'm thinking more of like the Jeff Jarrett is in the Bullet Club sort of like, let's just get go away heat and see what we can do with it sort of move. But yeah. All right. No, I like that trade. I think that's I was trying to figure out a Zack Sabre trade. Couldn't find anything I was happy with. I like that idea though. That's really smart. Who's next? Ben, you got one?
Yeah. So you guys mentioned a couple of guys and girls already that were on my board. So just for the sake of freshness, I'm going to mix it up here and mention some other names. And So when I was crafting these trades, kind of the basis of mine were either creating some fresh starts for people or bringing the band back together. I'm really right now in the Warriors should bring back KD mode. That's just where I am mentally.
Okay. So getting the band back together is good.
Just so you all know. So I have a three-way deal. Okay. In honor of the boss man, Bill Simmons, who loves creating fake three-way deals.
Who's watching the salary cap on this one? Brian, do you have the, are you have the numbers?
I'll pull up the salary cap meter.
Pull it up, yeah. Right. We'll call Bobby Marks after this. All right. I have Samoa Joe going back to WWE for the third time, his third stint. I have Chris Bay from Impact going to AEW. And from WWE, they send Ricochet to Impact. Now, this is my thought.
Okay.
Samoa Joe, look, third time's a charm. Trips is in charge. We get this right. We do it the right way with Samoa Joe. And he just runs roughshod over everybody. Chris Bay, I was really big on him a couple of years ago, kind of around the pandemic wrestling time. Yeah. He was actually my first professional wrestling interview back in the day. He was super cool. He can go. I love watching this.
I'm a big fan of Chris Bay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wrestled all three promotions in like a month. Right. That was his big claim to fame in the post pandemic period or during the pandemic, also, whatever.
Also, Bullet Club member or was I forget kind of where he is on that. But to Kaz's point earlier, you know, AEW loves putting on bangers. Let's give this dude a bigger stage to put on a hell of a banger. I don't care who it's with. I just know he can do it. And Ricochet, look, I love the dude. My wife is in love with Ricochet to a point that makes me very uncomfortable. But he's kind of at a point where it's just, you know, there's a ceiling with him, right? It's Intercontinental Champion, US Champion. That's really it. I think that's where they see him. Put him in Impact. Let's give this dude a world title shot. Just let him give him a shot.
Oh, he's face of the company material. Yeah.
Right.
He'd be the biggest star guy, in Impact if he went there.
Have him put on some bangers against Josh Alexander. And I think it's a win-win for everybody. Everyone is kind of happy with what they got. And everyone, all three of those guys, I feel like could thrive in their new spaces. So that is my, the best three-way deal.
I like Chris Bay too. I think Cody Khan's going to want something else.
Throw Johnny Swinger into the deal. Yeah,
you need to put Mike Jackson in the deal or something like that.
Sure,
because I Samoa Joe is a big part of their promotion. He's got the TNT title. Yeah. He's not really,
really the king of television. Yeah,
he's the king of television. You know Chris Bay is good, but you know you got to. Can you give me Mike Bailey?
Well, how about we throw in an unprotected first rounder for AEW somewhere in there?
Yeah,
sprinkle that in to sweeten the deal. I like that.
Yeah. I got, Brian, I'll let you go next, but since we're talking Ricochet, I have one Ricochet trade. Phil, I need you to fact check this one.
Okay.
Or quality check this one. This is one of my big swings. Ricochet and Rey Mysterio's expiring contract.
Okay.
basically a retirement tour for Rey Mysterio.
Money off the books.
To AAA. For Psycho Clown. Can we make that deal work?
That's a good deal. I mean, I also have some Ricochet Psycho Clown. I was just going to do it straight up. I mean, Ray's expiring, though, as the AAA farewell. I mean, you got to do the Dominic match first, though. That's the problem.
Sure,
right?
You wait till after WrestleMania.
It's a timing thing.
Yeah, you got to get the Dominic match out and then Ray's, but then Ray can just go and just sell out a bunch of arenas down there. And then we get to see what Psycho Clown can do north of the border. There's no one in the professional wrestling world who just intrigues me more, mostly thanks to, you know, you writing about him and talking about him, Phil, than Psycho Clown, because I don't know, but it would be so much fun to see him just, you know, pop up at a WWE pay-per-view and see what the crowd did. It could be amazing.
It would be really good. And AAA is a place where old guys can. I mean, Ray could wrestle another 20 years.
Sure.
In AAA, right? Like, facts. I mean, you know, they just ran those masks. They were having like El Canek was working that mask tournament last year. And he's like, mm-hmm. sick. You know, can't walk up they did not have the ring steps because some of these guys couldn't walk up the ring steps. And their knees were so bad. So Ray could literally wrestle in AAA for, you know, another 15 or 20 years easy. So he doesn't necessarily, like, that's to be, it's an expiring contract, but it's a long expiring. It's, right. He could have a Udonis Haslam run in AAA where he's just on the bench back, you know, for a long time. I psycho clouds your AAA, you know, I think your AAA number one draft pick in a lot of ways. So I got
right. It's, you can't just give him away. I mean, that's it. Right. He has so much value to them. So you kind of have to overpay.
Yeah.
And to that, that's Rey Mysterio. Brian, what do you got?
So I'm going to do a sign and trade deal.
Okay. Go.
We're going to sign Naomi, but we're going to trade her to AEW for Mercedes Martinez and Kiera Hogan.
I
want to get my dream match of Mercedes versus Charlotte Flair, and this is the way to do it. And it's going to, Mercedes is going to show up after WrestleMania and challenge Charlotte. And she's going to be Mercedes Martinez. She's not going to be Retribution. She's going to be who she is, and we're going to get that match going. And we'll send Kiera Hogan to NXT, and she'll wrestle Roxanne Perez.
Oh.
I like that.
Okay, wow. I like that.
I like that.
Mercedes like that Martinez, lot, too. I mean, I love the idea of a Martinez-Flair showdown. It seems sort of like, I mean, obviously, they like her a lot over there at AEW Ring of Honor. It's kind of unclear whether or not she sort of served her purpose over there. So, maybe that trade makes a lot of sense.
I like it as a trade of people who aren't obviously doing a ton. Right? Like, you know, that's the beauty of that. That's like a second draft trade for like these guys like Kiera Hogan. You know, obviously Naomi's not even wrestling. Mercedes Martinez, we haven't seen her since the ROH pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. The one question I have is like, did the WWE seem, they had Mercedes Martinez and Cutter. Maybe she would have been brought back as on the wave of Triple H rehires if she had gone to ROH though, right? That was, she probably would have shown up on, you know, on Raw at some point there. So maybe that's not an issue of them not wanting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Kaz, you got another one?
I got a big one, man. You're playing with your food. I'm trying to go for a big trade right here. I'm Mark Cuban right now. All right. So this is what we're doing. Three-way trade. New Japan, WWE, AEW. Seth Rollins says, God damn it, if y'all don't put me in a main event, I won out. I'm not re-signing next year.
Oh.
And Triple H here says, instead of that, we're just going to get rid of you. Tony Khan brings back CM Punk. Tony Khan says, hey, you guys got to get along or one of you guys got to go. And all three of the elites says, you know what? We out. So this is what we do. Three-way trade, Will Ospreay, Seth Rollins, the elites. The elites traded to the WWE. AEW acquires both.
Wait, all three of them?
All three of those guys.
I don't know if this is going to work with the numbers. It's going to go on.
It's going to work. It's going to work. Trust me on this. AEW sends Kenny Omega, Matt, and Nick Jackson to the WWE. The WWE and AEW both send Seth Rollins and Will Ospreay. I mean, WWE New Japan send Seth Rollins and Will Ospreay to AEW. WWE, to make the contracts work, send New Japan back Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh.
Shinsuke and New Japan, Seth and Will carrying AEW with their real life feuds, and the elites are now in WWE with all the Kenny Omega dream matches, back with Cody Rhodes, Seth is done playing second fiddle to Roman. Seth gets to go to AEW, work with Mox again, work all those Ring of Honor tapes with Danielson. Him and Will Ospreay arrive on the same fucking day and stare at each other like Triple H and The Undertaker right before WrestleMania.
Well, that's money, all right? I have no problem there.
Is it guaranteed a main event spot at Double or Nothing?
Guaranteed. They don't even say anything. Seth and Will just look at each other, and they just look at the Double or Nothing sign, and they just point at each other, and that's the fucking match, right?
The Double or Nothing. Is the Double or Nothing sign a thing?
Or
is that part of the trade? You got to throw in make a Double or Nothing sign for
wherever Seth goes, he's like, I need a sign to point to, guys. How are we going to know where the match is happening?
So. I love this trade as the ombudsman for foreign wrestling.
Gotcha.
I think New Japan needs something else. And the beauty of WWE is they're like the Thunder, right? With NXT, they have so many picks.
Okay.
Right? Like they can just throw in. So I think you got to throw in Ilya Dragunov or something like that. Ooh, or throw in one of these NXT guys that aren't being used to go to New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in Miko Satomura to Stardom. I think you need another thing.
I like that.
Because Osprey's a big.
Throw Miko and Shinsuke to New Japan. They both get hometown veteran heroes to their country. Osprey is your youngest, probably biggest star in that company. And that's not in WWE. They get their guy in AEW. They lose their last three founders of the company, but they get two fucking megastars in Tyler Black / Seth Rollins and Will Ospreay. And the Elite, they finally get to conquer the one place that they haven't conquered yet in World Wrestling Entertainment. Kenny Omega gets to do the one thing that he hasn't done before he can really call the career or really establish himself as the greatest ever. You can't, as great as you are, you got to go to the big show eventually. And I think they'll have some great trios matches. That Bloodline storyline is already built in. You know what I mean? Bloodline versus the Elite. You feel me? Like, Seth got so many dance partners in AEW that he'll go over there and absolutely destroy it. I think it's a win for all parties involved. What do you
guys think? Yeah, I think with Phil's addendum.
Addendum. Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Adam. I think because it's been so long, you got to add in the trade the rights to the name Seth Rollins. I don't think you want to go back to Tyler Black. I think you need
But he has, Tony Khan does own all the Ring of Honor library. If there's any people that can remind people exactly who Tyler Black is, he can do it. You know what I mean? It's not like they have to make a whole bunch of new video vignettes on to reintroduce the guy. Like, they got him.
That's a good point.
You know, so there's a possibility there. But I think, and you could save a little money. The name Seth Rollins costs a lot of bread. So, you know, you already lost the Elite. You can't lose that much more money. You know what I'm saying? No. So let's see. I think that works.
All right, Phil, what do you got next?
Okay, so I'm going back to trying to get a Bullet Club leader. This is going to be a big one, and I'm just going to do it. The AEW with the rights to CM Punk as the new leader of the Bullet Club for Mercedes money, just straight up. I know big stars don't get traded this, you know, like one for one like this normally. I know you usually need to do this. Is like, this is even bigger than Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, but that's what I'm doing. You just, so she comes in as the to lead your WWE invader group of women, right? Or decide to be like the Sting where we don't know what side she's in your WWE invader group of women versus your AEW women. Punk, you get value for the Punk contract, right? It's like Punk, the perfect analogy Kaz made of Punk is Kyrie Irving. This is even better than getting, you know, the draft pick, Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith, right? You get a legit big name, and Punk gets to go over to New Japan, which is something he's really has not wrestled very much in Japan at all in his career. Yeah. Really short cup of coffee in 01 when he was like, you know, in his early 20s, still in the indies. Like, so this is his chance to really do what I imagine has to be at least sort of a bucket list thing for a guy who's as big a wrestling nerd as CM Punk is. I mean, CM Punk is CM Punk's a guy who bought bootleg tapes from me, like, you know, 20 years ago. He's like, he's a hardcore guy. So this is his chance to really be, you know, have this a stage he's never been on. And, you know, if you can imagine the Bullet Club logo with the axe, straight edge axes on it, how many shirts would that sell?
A billion. I mean, and it's maybe the only place where he could, like, he would really have carte blanche to rehabilitate his career, his image. You know, if he put in, you know, 5 good years in New Japan, that would totally rewrite the legacy of CM Punk. So,
Is the NWE a thing right now? Is that what they're calling this invading women on AEW?
No, is that a thing?
Allegedly, like, they call it new women everywhere, whatever. It's catching. Oh. I think Soraya said something on Instagram, and they started spray painting L's on people. And
thumbs out of that name, but it's not a terrible idea.
No,
I see where they're going with it, but I'm just like, NWE. I'm like,
fake NWOs have only ever worked when it was the LWO and Eddie Graham. That's the only time a fake NWO has.
You
ever
don't like
been
the
successful.
Blue World Order? You weren't a fan of that?
No, it was stupid. Stupid. I like Stevie Richards and Blue okay, but no.
Wait, can we just do it? Let's just do anyone that has a Miro trade now. I want to hear what your Miro trade is. Ben, what's your Miro trade?
I did have a Miro trade. Not sure this will work anymore, but I'm gonna throw it out there and we can help me edit it. I have Miro plus an unprotected first rounder straight up.
From the Monster Factory? How does that work?
Yeah, no, for Bray Wyatt. So my thinking here was just you bring back Rusev Day. That never got its full run that I think it deserved. It was an incredible run. Bray is, I feel, he's in this weird spot where people want to like him in WWE, but they keep dropping the ball with his gimmick. I feel like it could use some rehabilitation over in AEW, and they could maybe do this dark character correctly. So that's where my Miro trade was at. It wasn't my best one, but I had to bring back Miro to WWE somehow. And I thought Bray Wyatt was a good way to do it.
There's no way that
Bray Wyatt's on the block.
Anybody but Bray Wyatt is involved in Bray Wyatt creative. it's very easy to call, you know, dropping the ball. I'm like, nah, bro. I think if it's not working, this is all Bray.
You think he signed off on Mountain Dew, though? He signed off on Mountain Dew.
I think I paid $1 million for that. Are you kidding?
That's not the problem. You're not sound like it was going great Dew. Until the Mountain Dew thing derailed this otherwise excellent chart. I just want to go on the record here. When Bray Wyatt came back and we did the post show for that pay-per-view, everybody was like, this is amazing. I'm so excited. I was like, I don't know. This looks like the same stupid shit he was doing before he left. And I want to take my goddamn victory lap because I got roasted. People on Twitter were going at me. And it's just like, I'm saying, I think history has judged me correctly. And, so can we trade Bray Wyatt to a promotion at MLW? Maybe
that'd be a good one, actually.
Hammerstone and Microman or something like that.
Oh, we get your Hammerstone trades in next. There's got to be more than one. Does anybody else have a Miro trade? I've got a couple here.
I got one.
What's yours?
So I have Warlow and Miro for Mustafa Ali and Drew McIntyre.
Oh, Drew McIntyre would be Andre the Giant over there. That's not a bad idea.
God, yeah, Drew would be a fucking god in AEW. Mm-hmm. wait, who is it for Wardlow and who?
Warlow and Miro. I think that's too much. Yeah. I don't think you can get. But maybe, maybe. I couldn't quite get the value on Miro. How about this one?
Wardlow's values went down a lot since. So maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
but he just had the big return. How about I do have some Wardlow stuff in here. How about this for Miro?
And he's sort of big, so I guess that's sort of a big return. But I didn't think that necessarily blew the roof off the place. He's got a new haircut now. Also, Wardlow is like one of those guys. It was like when Mike Awesome went to WCW. Yeah. And you were like, oh, he's not that big.
For sure.
He looked enormous at ECW as this monster. And you get him there and it's like, oh, he's I don't know, 3 inches shorter than Sean O'Hare and like 265. So I think Wardlow in the WWE gets over there and he's like, oh, a lot of his aura goes away when you realize he's not that big.
Mm. Yeah. What about Miro to WWE for Dolph Ziggler and Cameron Grimes? Cameron Grimes could be huge in AEW.
I feel like not Grimes, just sizes. I feel like Grimes would be a lot. I mean, granted, Ziggler's brother is there, so I think there could be some cool stuff that they do together. But I do think Cameron Grimes would definitely be a lot more viable to them, to AEW, than Dolph Ziggler would at this point.
Well, Ziggler's a little bit of a throw-in in this trade. I just don't think Grimes is there, and Ziggler also can give you relative star power immediately, right?
Yeah.
You
could plug Ziggler positive salary at this point. I'm not sure his contract.
like you gotta sell tickets.
Are you cutting Ziggler? Attach a second to Dolph Ziggler to get off that Dolph Ziggler
contract, he's not a Westbrook, but this is the let's sign Westbrook to sell tickets theory, right? You get some some people out there because Ziggler's a big name, relatively speaking.
Okay.
No? All right.
He was on Total Divas, though. So.
Let's ask Kaz this. Kaz, are you more Cameron Grimes or Quentin Grimes? Where are you at?
Quentin Grimes is definitely... Come on, guys. Don't make me choose. Yeah, I'm more Quentin Grimes than Cameron Grimes.
I follow Kaz on Twitter. Most of the things he tweets, 75% of his tweets are about Quentin Grimes.
I fucking love Quentin Grimes. Yo, you guys don't understand, man. Like, I look at him and I'm just like, that's the next Klay Thompson right there, Quentin Grimes. Oh, God. I have an unhealthy appreciation for Quentin Grimes and his stock, I guess. Yeah. You know, so I wouldn't give up on that too easily. I wouldn't trade it for Donovan Mitchell. That's how much. That's how you, what you should know about how much I love Quentin Grimes. I didn't. I was like, no, he can't go. He's too valuable. He's gonna be one of those guys in 3 years that is like a 18 point per game scorer who like knocks out 40% of his threes. Like, oh, this guy's invaluable, and it's like you just kind of gave him to Utah. Like, you're not gonna do that. You know, yeah. So, and Cameron Grimes is already rich, so he doesn't need me. Quentin Grimes.
Is he hurt or something? I haven't seen Cameron Grimes on TV in a long time.
Well,
there was some talk that he was backstage doing some of the stuff with Bray, but I don't know if that ever.
Is he Uncle Howdy?
I don't know if he was maybe being Uncle Howdy before Bo got there. I don't know what the story was, but there were some weird Uncle Howdy rumors or, you know, whiffs. That didn't really make a lot of sense, and you know, that might have connected him. I don't know. He'd be an interesting person to connect to that. But, dude, I mean, his NXT run was just so elite. He could be, you know, I would love to see him have a couple years in a place like AEW just to go nuts before he settles into a full-time, a semi-retirement of WWE character work or whatever, you know? I mean, he's going to be a star no matter what he does, but man, he can really go.
There was a period when he was Trevor Lee, where he would be working in North Carolina, where he'd be working these like 90-minute matches against guys you've never heard of, and you'd be like, oh man, this was a really great... I hate watching anything that's over 50 minutes, but this 90-minute Trevor Lee, you know...
Yeah,
Roy Wilkins match is really great. So he's definitely somebody who hasn't had a chance to scratch his potential in NXT. Although when he's given the chance, he's been really good. Although he does feel a little duplicative in AEW, right? It seems like they've got a lot of like Cameron Grimes-ish guys. Although he can talk and do character stuff, so that may put him above.
Yeah,
I think when I'm thinking about AEW, I'm often thinking about, can I diversify, right? Like, is it like, so it's less about like getting guys like Ricochet and Cameron Grimes there, but like, can I do something when I get the Creeds there? Can I get some of the guys who are going to be doing something a little different than AEW house style to mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, okay, but at least with Cameron Grimes, his gimmick is not that he is one of the best wrestlers in the world. He's like a character who can just incidentally like go toe-to-toe with all the dudes that you have at the top of your card. But that is a good point. All right, who's got one? Who's got a trade burning a hole in their pocket?
Ben, I got a trade burning a hole in my pocket.
Kaz, go.
Right now. Okay. AEW needs some star power, some old guys. You know what I'm saying? The expiring contract of William Goldberg.
Oh.
Goes to AEW. He's back on Turner Network Television, the network he made famous, for the rights to Swerve Strickland. Swerve for Goldberg.
I don't think AEW gives up Swerve that easily, but that's a good trade.
WWE wants to fix Hit Row like they got a hole in their head, and they will do anything to get Swerve back. And Swerve has risen his stock so high that he is now available to go straight up for four matches of guaranteed sellout box office Goldberg matches for the next year in AEW.
What are your four Goldberg matches?
My four Goldberg and AEW matches? Okay.
Yeah.
Goldberg versus Sting. And it's like really not a match. It's just freaking a spectacle. You know what I'm saying? Lots of schmazes and all whatever. But you could say Goldberg v. Sting on a marquee and people will come watch that, right?
Maybe a tag. Because I don't know if those guys can work singles matches. But Goldberg being brought in as the Semitic enforcer for MJF. Like I bring in the super Jew to take care of the people. I kind of like that idea.
Oh, you just fixed my trade. Okay, so that's my headlining match. Darby Allin and Sting, working, the spooky goth guys versus the angry Jews.
MJF
and Goldberg. That is a legends match right there. That's at least one.
MJF keeps talking about how he's a tough uncle. Like, oh, I'm going to need backup. I'm going to have to bring my tough uncle in. And everybody thinks it's going to be a joke. Like, oh, he's bringing in his tough uncle.
And then it's fucking Goldberg. And then
his tough uncle is Goldberg.
That'll be awesome. Yeah. I would love that. Oh, my God.
All right,
gosh.
Let's keep trucking along. Brian, Ben, who's got a trade?
I have a selfish one that I'd like to throw out there. So,
go for it.
Again, just fresh starts or bringing the band back together. That was my trade strategy. So I've got Adam Cole and Claudio Castagnoli and Billy Gunn from AEW.
Oh, wow.
Going to WWE for Bron Breakker and Solo Sikoa. Look, I haven't been a fan of Adam Cole's run in AEW. His debut was fine. Then he's just been kind of there. And again, let's redo it. Let's bring him back to the main card with Triple H at the helm. I think we do this the right way. Claudio, also just bring him back. I think we could do this. We could kind of fix what went wrong. Billy Gunn, I'm just tired of these. If we're going to keep doing these DX reunions, that's fine. But let's just get Billy Gunn back and just put the band back together. And then also one domino effect of this is DeParti on Up, Up, Down, Down gets back together fully as a whole.
There you go.
We can run that content.
Mm-hmm.
And then in AEW, Bron Breakker. Look, I've wanted to like Bron forever. I can't do it, but maybe I could in AEW. And Solo, I love Solo Sikoa. I just don't know what he looks like without the Bloodline on the main roster. I think I could see him in AEW by himself. So I think this just works for everybody. I don't know what the contracts look like and how the money works. Phil, you're the resident Bobby Marks for this, so maybe you can kind of fix the holes that are in this. But that's this is a selfish trade. This is a me trade, by the way.
Solo is interesting, right? Because he's in the middle of this whole thing that they're building their whole promotion around, right? Like, this is like you're taking a big part of the rotation out of the, you know, out of the mix. It's interesting. I don't know. That's a fascinating one. Adam Cole is like one of the guys I'm in a lot of trades in the back of my head, because I think he isn't somebody who is doing a ton in AEW and could. I mean, he's a guy you could put either in my find somebody to run the Bullet Club role or back in like a push guy in the WWE role. So he feels like a guy that, I don't know. Yeah, that's I'm gonna have to fucking chew on that one a little bit. Can you get rid of Solo in the middle of this? He feels like he's, you know, has such like this perfect role for him. Like, I don't know if I could see him outside the Bloodline either, but like part of the idea is, well, do I ever need to? Like,
that one hurt me. Like,
does he ever need to? Can he just be Arn Anderson in the War Horseman his whole career? That's not a terrible career.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I was just trying to imagine him outside of it. And I was just taking him, I guess, more individually than kind of their collectives at this point. Like, I'm taking Billy Gunn out of the Acclaimed. And you know, in the middle of this Gunn Brothers thing. So
it's wild. This is a toss. Here's the question.
I'm ripping shit apart.
Maybe we need to rope in MLW to get Jacob Fatu to replace Solo Sikoa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, at a 13.
If throw something to MLW, you could.
This is where you send.
That's a lot of value.
You could send Bray Wyatt to MLW, or you could Jordan Devlin or something like that.
Devlin to MLW is good. Here's my version of that. I have Jacob Fatu to WWE. Mm-hmm. This is a three teamer. Dragon off to AEW, which is a big loss. But I just feel like the main roster. I mean, obviously. Fatu's got a huge main roster upside. And then AEW sends MLW a lot of players. Big Bill to reunite Enzo and Kaz over there. You can have Santana, Lee Johnson, Dustin Rhodes would be a good one because they like those, you know, name recognition older dudes. Maybe Sean Spears. MLW, you just stop when you say yes. Just put up your hand. But no, I definitely
Tony Khan just sends them $80,000. I mean, maybe that's the answer, right?
Like, cash considerations,
like,
yeah.
Cash considerations feel like a decent.
Cash considerations could be a big one. Yeah, yeah. I was also trying to work a Shane McMahon to MLW trade, but couldn't exactly. Is it Shane McMahon for Hammerstone? Is that a good one for one? Do you think that they could make both sides? Who says no to that?
I mean, was Shane McMahon a boss there, or was he just the wrestler?
No, Shane McMahon, the character. That's it.
No.
And the wrestler, yeah.
No. I could be into Shane McMahon versus Cesar Duran, because yeah. That's the guy who used to be the head of Lucha Underground is like doing a thing in MLW. People don't watch MLW, but they're doing a thing in MLW right now. So you could do like a Shane versus Cesar Duran thing.
Yeah.
Ad Kruger's really tall. Like that guy's literally tall.
Yeah,
like, he'd be a guy you could put in WWE and wouldn't look short. He's 6'8" easy. So,
but they could bring in Shane and pretend in kayfabe or whatever, have Shane buy the company. Think of all the attention that would get him.
That's true.
Yeah.
You did say the character.
Well, yeah, he's not actually, I mean, you can let him work in the office if you want. I don't know how much mutual interest there would be there. All right. Brian, you got one?
Yeah, I had an Adam Cole trade as well. So I had Adam, you know, we talk about bringing bands back together, but I was bringing Christian back to WWE. So him and Edge can do their thing because, you know, it's always Edge makes a bunch of comebacks. Why not make one more with Christian? And this would be for Matt Riddle and Tommaso Ciampa. I would like to see Tommaso Ciampa work with some of those ROH guys again, just on a a bigger scale. And then to see what Riddle would do, I'm already thinking like how funny it would be watching Riddle and MJF go at it back and forth.
Yeah, that would be really great.
What's Riddle's status right now?
I think his value is pretty low. I have my only Matt Riddle trade right now is I have Mance Warner to WWE. I'm a huge Mance Warner fan. And then they give both MLW and GCW. Whoever has claim to Mance Warner gets a piece of the rights to Matt Riddle. That's it. So Matt Riddle can go back and work those shows and sell some tickets or whatever and Mance to WWE.
Send Matt Riddle to the shindies. Cold-blooded. How far has his stock dropped, right? Like, when he was on those shows, everybody was like, when is he going to get off the shows and back to the WWE? And I was just like,
Don't know how to value it. He's on Instagram with a gold grill and a mustache, man. I mean, I don't, like, what do you, that's...
Yeah, that is a very GCW look, right? Like, you kind of see him as a Joey Janela tag partner now, but I'm just saying, man, that's
I asked Kaz who the Kyrie of wrestling was. I think it would be uncomfortable if you put Riddle in that guy. You can't even bring Riddle in that conversation at this point. You don't know. Anyway,
Riddle like 38 years old too? I mean,
he's not as young as one would think. You know, I mean, young for
your gold grill with an Instagram model era, it's like at some point. I mean, you know, you grow out of that, right? I mean, if he's 22, gold grill with an Instagram model, if you're in mid-30s, I mean, you know, come on, Matt. Settle to get it together, my man.
I got some really, I got some really low wattage ones here. We get it. So let's just start running through these without so much commentary. I have a three teamer: Joe Hendry of Impact Wrestling fame to WWE, Zicky Dice and Chad Gable to AEW, and to Impact, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Roode, the homecoming trade. Talking about getting the band back together.
Kyle O'Reilly like permanently retired with a bad neck?
No, he's gonna make a comeback. It doesn't really matter that much. It's Impact. let's see what else. Anything else worth mentioning here?
I got a quick one. I'm gonna send Regal back.
Already?
With Charlie Dempsey?
With Charlie Dempsey, right?
It's okay, there we go.
He wanted to be with his son, and now we can do this. And Charlie Dempsey is incredible and has no future in WWE really at all, I think, with the style that he works, but could be absolutely incredible. But the Regal and his kid trying to make up with Danielson and Moxley and apologize for what he did. And I want to come back. I just needed to be with my son, but I was able to get him back here. And we're just trying to do that. Send them back Soraya. They get sort of an all British train. Oh. Who I don't think is, outside of her initial match, has done a ton. And I don't know if what she's doing now is working. And I think she could have like a couple moments and WWE is somebody, a returning legend there.
Mm-hmm. And Kaz mentioned the NWE storyline, if that's what we're calling it earlier. I think this is this might not be enough for AEW, but just in terms of better fit in that storyline and better fit in WWE, what about Sheeta for Cora Jade straight up? Who says no?
No, I think WWE says no. They know what they got in Cora Jade. Mm-hmm. I think Cora Jade. Yeah, I think Cora Jade's like a. She's, I hate making comparisons, but like she kind of fits that mold that like AJ Lee, Paige, like the anti-diva, the anti-woman's rest. You know what I mean? She's got a different unique look to her. You know, I think WWE knows what they got in her. I don't think they trade her. I think they got a lot of big plans for her.
Sheeta kind of is very much like a sort of a home goods Asuka too, right? Like, I mean, aren't they doing very similar things in a way that I don't know what Sheeta does there?
She can walk right in the door and compete at the highest level in WWE. I feel like, okay, maybe not enough. Maybe that's too much of a win now move. I'm not. who else?
Cora Jade to AEW makes sense. I mean, they've got so many women, right? Like, that's the thing about NXT is they've got this a real glut of women because it seems like their strategy has been to sign the same number of women and men almost every time they sign mm-hmm. people ask people. But they don't have the same amount of time for women and men's wrestling. They do more than AEW does. But so it feels like they've got this glut.
Yeah.
And it feels like you could do a 3-for-1 for one of the bigger, you know, Tony Storm or something like that, and get some of those prospects over to AEW. It just feels like there's a lot of people in women in NXT now. It's like, I don't really see them going anywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely value to be to look for there. Sorry, I just had an interruption from my co-pilot over here. Ben, Brian, Kaz, you got any more trades you want to get in here? I got two more worth mentioning here.
I got one more just to be an agent of chaos here. I got Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and the Good Brothers. WWE sends them to AEW for the Elite. I'm just looking for the Shams Bomb at this point. That tweet would shut down the internet. So
yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
if we're gonna
Bullet Club for the Elite, sounds great.
Wait, tell me this. I was trying to figure this out. Let's just say, because we're talking about factions, what is the appropriate price if AEW and WWE got into a trade? AEW is going to send the House of Black to WWE. Is it House of Black for Judgment Day minus Dom straight up? Is it House of Black for?
It's almost got to be minus Dom and Rhea, though, right?
Like, yeah, that's true.
Rhea's going to be main eventing WrestleMania.
You're right. You're right. Or maybe plus Dom minus Rhea. What about? Okay, I know this is gonna. This is gonna rankle some people here. What about the House of Black for the Hurt Business? Straight up.
No, because you got a world champion in last.
Bobby. Yeah, but man,
I'm not big on Buddy. I mean, Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy's great.
I feel like he's better in AEW, man. We kind of seen him do his thing in WWE with like the Aleister matches and the Seth matches, and I'm this.
One advantage is you get out the Hurt Business out of the WWE and you remove the temptation to fantasy book every single black wrestler in the WWE.
Yes.
So it's almost like Tibbs is your coach. It's like, I got to get rid of some of these veterans to play the young guys.
Exactly.
I got to get rid of the Hurt Business so Carmelo Hayes doesn't end up in the Hurt Business.
Right. Right. Then we're going to be doing that in AEW, putting Swerve in there and Keith Lee and Will Hobbs.
That's
and Ricky Starks.
It's a good point. Can we train the professional wrestling promoter's desire to put every black wrestler in a stable? Like, somehow get rid of that as the concept.
Train wrestling Twitter.
Oh, man.
Twitter, but WWE Twitter.
Anybody got a last trade?
Nah.
All right. Here's my most controversial trade, I think. Oh. I'm not sure. This isn't that much different than the one I think, Kaz, you had before. Well, it's in the same ballpark. All right, this might have to wait till after WrestleMania this year. I'm not sure. But Ricky Starks to WWE for Ava Rain and all of The Rock's future guest appearances. Who says no? Presuming The Rock never wrestles again, but it's just The Rock popping up to sell tickets or to do whatever. He's now in AEW. He shows up once a year and makes a couple of jokes. And WWE gets, you know, a guy who many have compared to The Rock and Ricky Starks. Who says no to that?
Well, see, I would like
I do it if I'm AEW.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and then you get Ava Rain, too. But I was thinking, like, well, you can't do the Ava Rain is The Rock. I mean, is Ricky Starks. A little sister gimmick now. So,
right.
I think that's worth it. All right. Well, anyway, I think we made some good trades.
I think we did.
Not as much as I expected for Wardlow. Not as much.
We weren't able to find anything for Westbrook, the 27 and 29 first. Train him to Noah for Gucci.
I mean, shit. I'm still sold on MJF and Goldberg versus Sting and Darby.
Like, yeah, that's not bad.
Two Jews stuff. With attitude is good shit right there, man.
Bet you can.
The Jews with attitudes versus the dudes with attitudes. The copyrights itself.
Phil, I have a couple of questions that were just lingering my thing for you. Where would you put Otis? Forget about the trade. If you could put Otis in any other promotion from WWE and start from scratch with him, where would you put him?
Noah.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
You know, they've got, you know, that's where Thatcher is. They've got guys with that body type. You can kind of turn him back around into like a guy who can leans into his amateur style. You know, like Sakuraba's there. Otis Sakuraba could be a really fun match. You know, Funaki's there. They've got a bunch of like old shoot dudes who might be able to show him, you know, how to work his amateur wrestling into pro wrestling.
And listen, I don't think he has, there's no way he has more value elsewhere than WWE, but no one mentioned The Miz. Is there any trade for, could The Miz be the biggest star in Mexico for the next decade? Like what is the non-WWE option for The Miz?
Miz would be really good in Mexico. But the thing about Mexico is you can kind of just show up with an American flag and throw tortillas at the crowd and get insane heat if you're almost anyone. So it's like Miz has got a lot of talent, but he could just,
it's going to be squandered.
He could just do it. Sam and Otis could just do that, right? You don't really need the Miz to do that in Mexico. Miz is the head of the Bullet Club. And like, you know, as like the idea is that he's trying to get in on these Hot Topic merch sales and then the Bullet Club is kind of resisting him trying
They're trying to resist a takeover, but he's also like got some sort of sway. He's got a level of pop. Maybe they realize they need the star power. Oh,
yeah,
that could be interesting.
Star power for the San Jose shows. I kind of like that idea. But I mean, The Miz is in the perfect place. He should just continue to do what he does always.
All right. Well, one trade deadline down. Let's see. We'll be back here on the Masked Man Show on Thursday to let you know if any of these trades went through. There'll be a lot of excitement between now and then. Thank you guys for hanging out. Phil, Match of the Week is going up today, probably up by the time people are listening to this.
Yeah, I got some fun ones I talked about. I mean, AEW was hard because Dynamite really had three incredible matches, but it got less hard once Darby had the hoodie. So it got easier once he came out with the thumbtack hoodie. So I wrote about that. Wrote about Wesley Dijak. And then I wrote about Zack Sabre Jr. Ishii for the New Japan TV title, which is the title that they just started. And all the time limits are 15 minutes. So it's fun. It's really like Zack Sabre Jr. is basically, you know, 1992 Steve Regal, which is a fun role for him.
Love it. I know that was a really fun match. And I'm glad that as soon as I started doing I was doing the art for it, and I was just like, I dredged up and watched it in full. It didn't have to skip around. That's really, really cool.
Yeah. 15 minutes, right? Yeah. In and out, you know, it's like a Chick-fil-A sandwich, supposed to a sit down meal. Sometimes what you want.
Brian, Ben, you got anything you want to plug on the way out?
Wednesday Worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, check us out on Wednesday after you listen to this episode and Cheap Heat. And we'll be there in the middle of the day before the actual NBA trade deadline. So
yeah, one of these trades might actually make the They Said What segment.
Oh, good. Huh?
We'll unpack it.
We'll see you guys unpack it. Okay. Well, if you held anything back, I guess you can let it all out there. Kaz, you want to get your plugs in?
Only thing I want to plug this week is we have Wally Mania announcements coming this week for WrestleMania weekend in Los Angeles on March 30th, Thursday. Before all the madness of the week kicks off this week, thankfully, we will have some news. Tickets will go on sale, logos, pictures, and you will start hearing about all the goodness of the annual party before the biggest weekend in wrestling. Let's do it.
It's going to be fun. You can find me here. You can find me on the Press Box. You can find me on the Book of Wrestling. We're still plugging along on that one. Like Ben said, check out all the great shows on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. We're here every day, and we're having more fun than ever. Apologies, as always, to John Moxley. We'll see you back here next week, humanoids.
Peace.
No John Moxley trades. Who's that? How do we not trade for John Moxley?
He ain't going nowhere.
I mean, he did say that he wants to stay in AEW for the rest of his career, and his goal is to make it a successful thing. So, feels like a guy who's just, you know,
we didn't trade for a minute.
Yeah, we didn't trade for Roman either. It feels like it's sort of the same thing, right?
Roman for Moxley. That's not going to work. Roman, no, can we do a Roman Okada Moxley three-way with that? Is it?
Not going to hit the same.
Roman's untouchable.
Roman's but he's only wrestles like four times a year. Well, I guess that's not that big of a deal. So anywhere else but WWE. So, all right. Well, anyway. Well, let's. The show's over. See you guys later.